Mr. Moore.
May it please the court. My name is Abram Moore. I represent the appellant in this case, Lenny Perry. We're here today because my client has alleged that his equal protection rights were violated. He alleges he was subjected to two searches by prison officials and that both were motivated by purposeful racial discrimination. Now, his complaint was dismissed sua sponte by the district court for failure to state a claim before it was even served upon the defendants. Mr. Perry is a pro se plaintiff, and he did not receive notice or an opportunity to amend his complaint before the district court dismissed it with prejudice. He's asking today for this court to vacate that dismissal and remand for further proceeding on the merits.
I wonder if you could focus on the matter that you address in your reply brief. State as amicus, or whatever the, you know, these non-involved, no service, the case never started capacities are, has really put all of its eggs in the exhaustion basket and has said that his internal prison complaints weren't enough to alert the prison authorities to the fact that it was this purposeful racial discrimination matter at issue. Isn't the purpose of exhaustion sort of defeated if the person doesn't tell the prison authorities what the important part of the complaint is?
Well, Your Honor, you're correct that the purpose of exhaustion of administrative remedies is to kind of clarify the contours of what they're going to be dealing with in the court. But I'd like to point out, first of all, that unlike for complaints which fail to state a claim, the PLRA does not provide for, much less require, dismissal for failure to exhaust. I'm sorry, sua sponte dismissal for failure to exhaust administrative remedies. This is, in fact, an affirmative defense, which the burden of pleading is on the defendant.
And do we have any information about whether, in the course of processing these grievances, Mr. Perry ever had a chance to explain further what this bias or, you know, why he keeps referring to the white woman who does various things in these proceedings? In other words, do we have any sense that in this fleshing out process, the racial aspects of his complaint came out?
Your Honor, the record doesn't reflect whether or not Mr. Perry did, in fact, flesh this out further in the proceedings, the hearings that went forward, or if he sent any other letters to the administrative board. We just don't know that, which kind of emphasizes the fact that this shouldn't be a sua sponte dismissal without even a hearing, without asking Mr. Perry whether or not this kind of thing occurred.
Well, there's certainly no written record, like a court reporter record of a prison grievance hearing, right?
I don't believe that there is, Your Honor.
Not in any prison I know of.
So, in any event, even if this court was to require Perry to plead that he failed to exhaust his remedies, which it hasn't before, typically this burden is on the defendant to plead, he did exhaust his remedies. He clarified the contours of what he was going to deal with later on in the courtroom. There are two searches here that he agrees. First is a search of his cell by Officer Oltman's. And Perry grieved that the disciplinary report he received was malicious and with prejudice. And he demanded Oltman's be trained to do his job in a non-prejudiced professional way. Now, he doesn't particularly claim that it was racial prejudice, but he does point out that there was some prejudice involved in the disciplinary report he received. And he said that in his administrative grievance. So he has clarified the contours with respect to that search. And second, with regard to the search he received of his person in the yard, he grieved that he was harassed by Officer Neustrand, that the search was harassment. Now, in his complaint, he goes further to flesh out that the harassment was racially motivated. And in his complaint, as a matter of fact, he says, to quote, he says that this defendant, Neustrand, only singled out blacks to harass in a discriminatory behavior, acting with malice and deliberate indifference because Neustrand never stops white inmates to shake them down.
Is he complaining still about both of them? Because the brief, I thought, was focusing on the prison yard incident. Is he still complaining about his, you know, if there were remand, would the shakedown in the cell still be part of this case?
It would, Your Honor. In the complaint itself, he alleges there was racial discrimination on the part of both Neustrand and Oltman. And that Neustrand was the officer who searched Perry in the yard. Oltman is the officer who searched his cell.
What about all these other people that are involved? There are quite a few names other than Oltman and Neustrand.
Well, that's correct, Judge. With the other defendants, Perry's allegations focused mostly on a due process violation, which we conceded it didn't have merit, and so those defendants...
So maybe some of them are correctly out at the threshold.
Arguably some of them are. But then again, perhaps if given an opportunity to explain, an opportunity to amend his complaint, which he never had, perhaps Perry could explain that, in fact, there are also allegations against these individuals as well to show that there was racial discrimination involved in the hearing process, or that they somehow colluded with the other officers. But the face of the complaint as it stands doesn't appear to state a claim against those defendants. But as I pointed out, even if the complaint itself did not state a claim, he should receive an opportunity to amend here. Now, Perry is an informal pauperist plaintiff, and so his complaint should be treated a little bit differently than under 12b-6. It's treated differently in two ways. One, a court is required to screen informal pauperist complaints for merit before he serves them on the defendant's requires response. And two, Section 1915, which is dismissal on the state, that courts shall dismiss informal pauperist complaints which fail to state a claim. Notably, however, it does not state the court shall dismiss without notice or opportunity to amend. And if this court does not grant opportunity to amend, if it says there's failure to state a claim, then it is in fact reading that language into Section 1915.
So why isn't that a discretionary move on the district court's part, whether to give an opportunity to amend or not?
Well, Your Honor, this court in the case of English versus Cowell, in fact, said that unless a claim is frivolous and cannot be saved, it is written entry that a court cannot sua sponte dismiss a complaint without notifying the parties of its intentions and allowing them an opportunity to cure the defect in the complaint. In other words, it's a question of due process that he should have notice and opportunity to be heard. If there are no questions, I'll reserve the rest.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Mr. Barrow?
Thank you. May it please the Court, Brian Barrow, Assistant Attorney General, on behalf of the Attorney General of Illinois. Just to briefly reiterate the limitations of the scope of my representation here, no defendants have been served in this case. We're not here representing any state employees, and nothing I say should be taken as a concession.
You're just here to be helpful to us.
Pardon?
You're just here to be helpful to us.
I'm just here to be thanked. I've been invited, and I've gratefully responded. This is a case brought under the PLRA. This case was dismissed under Section 1915E2B.
You've pretty much conceded, haven't you, that the district judge jumped the gun so far as deciding that there was no claim.
Correct. Correct. I think that.
So it's just the exhaustion
In Strong versus David, this court pointed out that the same sort of notice pleading rules that apply to complaints should also apply to grievances. And the grievances in this case fall short of that. There's two grievances, one involving the shakedown in the yard involving Officer Neustrand, and the other involving the shakedown in the cell involving Officer Altman. In the Neustrand grievance, there's no mention whatsoever of anything that I think could even remotely be considered racial prejudice.
But I suppose the question is, one needs to be careful about these kinds of analogies for a process that's as rightfully as informal as prison grievance procedures are. First of all, unlike complaints, they're always pro se, right? And secondly, when you're thinking about notice, it's not as if you didn't know what the incidents were. He tells you what the incidents were. He complains about harassment. He's going to try to convince somebody within the prison that what happened to him shouldn't have happened. And that's why I asked whether we had any idea when he's explaining what he means by harassment, or he's explaining what he means by prejudice. Does he actually say, hey, you only do this to the African-American inmates, don't do it to the white guys? We don't have any way of knowing that, I think, which suggests that there's a set of facts that he could prove within the prison grievance process that would show that there was a problem. He may not wind up proving them, but that's something similar to the 12b-6 approach.
I don't think so, Your Honor, in this case, because what we have to do is the point of the exhaustion requirement is to allow prison officials to take action against perceived problems in the prisons, and that's what why the PLRA put that in there, as they say, to reduce the quantity and improve the quality of lawsuits. So put yourself sort of in the role of what would an objective, reasonable prison official know looking at one of these grievances?
But the point is, there's a hearing or something. There's usually somebody sits down, maybe it's on paper, but there's it's not just the grievance. They actually, if he had to, he went through the whole process.
Right.
And I just think it's possible on the face of these grievances that he might have said something about race. It just was developed. You know, it seems a little harsh to require fact pleading on the part of a prisoner.
I'm not suggesting that they do, but again, this is he submits, the way the process works, as you know, he submits the grievance to the grievance officer,
right.
The grievance then goes up to the warden,
right.
He can submit additional materials, and then it goes up to the ARB. Now, there's nothing in the record that indicates that he's submitted any additional materials to the ARB or to the warden or to the director that would suggest racial discrimination. In fact, if you look at the Neustrom grievance in particular, his real beef there isn't so much with Neustrom. He basically says, I was standing in the yard, Neustrom came up, he took my cigarettes, he told me to continue yard, and then he really complains about the adjustment committee hearing. I mean, that's where his real complaint is, at least in that particular grievance. The Oldman's grievance also focuses primarily on the adjustment committee, and he does use the word prejudice, it's in a couple of different contexts. He says Oldman showed prejudice to his job performance by playing favoritism, that Oldman should be trained to do his job in a non-prejudiced professional way.
Favoritism towards his
cellmate did not get a ticket, did not get a disciplinary ticket arising out of that shakedown. Now, I don't think, I mean, something has to trigger something in somebody's mind. I don't know that, you know, prison officials should be expected to run to their dictionary, their thesaurus, to find how many definitions, or if there's a possible racial, you know, racially discriminatory meaning can be imputed. And prejudice means a lot of things. And in this context, I don't think it necessarily would have triggered that on a prison official. There has to be, if the PLRA is going to work and if the exhaustion requirement is going to work, there has to be a sort of a rule of reason on both sides. And unless you're going to let prison officials know that you've just been the subject of racial discrimination in the application of shakedowns or services or anything else, they can't act to remedy that.
So preliminary, though. In our decision in Walker against Thompson, we said we shouldn't dismiss prisoner suits for failure to exhaust unless either the defendants have pleaded the defense, which of course you haven't
right.
done yet because you haven't
right.
been served yet,
right.
you know,
right.
and
right.
so
right.
you're not there, or unless the existence of the defense is so plain that the suit can be regarded as frivolous, and that's where that's a high standard, a deliberately high standard, and it arguably isn't even a 12b6 standard.
Well, I think he has submitted the materials. He submitted the materials that he has submitted to the prison officials. I don't think you can construe this any other way. There's nothing at this point that can cure this problem in the grievance proceeding. Because he can't go back. The limitation.
No, he did what he did.
He did
I agree
did.
With you on that.
I mean, the limitations period has long since expired. He can't go back and re-grieve this.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're sort of left with this situation where, he didn't raise it, and he didn't give the notice to the prison officials, and under the PLRA, that's a failure to exhaust. Under this court's case law, I think that's a failure to exhaust. As to the sua sponte dismissal, the PLRA makes it, I think, the language...
It's a race judicata concept of exhaustion. When you file the grievance about a particular incident, you have to raise not only what you raised, but all the things you might have raised.
Well, I don't...
It is. No, I mean, that does not say it's a bad thing, but I'm saying that's the theory of what you're saying.
But in a very broad sense, perhaps. I mean, you have to let prison officials know what the problem is. They can't do anything about it. And it's not fair to sort of change the...
Well,
you're
complaining. There's no mention of race in the grievance.
There's no mention of race. And there's not even a mention of the word... I mean, even in the complaint, for example, he complains that we were discriminatory in violation of the policy manual, and he attaches a section of the prison policy manual which says prison officials shall not act in a racially discriminatory manner. So if you read those two together, you can infer from the complaint what he's talking about is racial discrimination. There's nothing that even takes that step within the grievance. He doesn't say you violated your policy manual in a discriminatory manner. You were racially discriminatory. You only do this to white people and not to black people. There's nothing in there that suggests racial discrimination. And I don't think prison officials, especially given the amount of grievances they have to deal with, have to try and reach into the prisoner's mind. I mean, that sort of defeats the purpose of the PLRA and defeats the purpose of what the exhaustion requirement is all about.
So. Okay, thank you, Mr. Barrow. Mr. Moore, how much time did you have? 3 minutes.
You know, I'd like to point out, first of all, that if this court is to affirm based on failure to exhaust administrative remedies, that dismissal should be without prejudice. And so either way, you're going to have to vacate the dismissal for
failure to state a claim. But, you know, I'm looking at this exhibit, his grievance, Appendix 5. I don't see anything that even hints about a racial problem.
Which grievance are you speaking about, Judge Posner?
It's tab 5 of your appendix. That's his grievance, isn't it?
There's one of his grievances, yes.
Well, what do you mean, one? Where are the others?
He grieved both a cell search and the yard search, Your Honor.
Well, where's the other grievance?
If you permit me just a moment. The other grievance is attached, I'm sorry, to the reply.
The reply?
Yeah.
Well, this one, Appendix 5, there's no hint of race in it, is there, or am I missing something?
In this, Your Honor, he alleges that Newstrand harassed him. That's the basis of putting the prison on notice that the search was wrongful. In the first sentence, he says, I was stopped and harassed.
I understand that, but what Mr. Barrow said is, look, if the prisoners are to do something about a problem, that's the purpose of exhaustion, they have to be given some suggestion of what it is. What he really suggests is he's being mistreated because he's an inmate.
That is, you're right, that is part of his grievance.
Well, that's the only thing I see here. I don't see anything about race. I don't see any even hints about race.
In this first grievance, Your Honor, he says that he was harassed by Newstrand, and then in his complaint, he flushes that out and says
no,
harassed
no,
is a race
no
thing.
Good. I mean, you have to give the prison a chance to solve the problem itself before you run into court.
Well, the question, Your Honor, then is whether or not.
Otherwise, exhaustion is meaningless.
I agree that they should clarify the contract.
Where is there the tip off here to the prison authorities that this person thinks there's racial discrimination?
If harassment is not enough of a tip-off, Your Honor,
well, it's
not it,
because you can be harassed for a zillion reasons. You can be harassed because you're a prisoner and guards are sadistic, or unjust, or suspicious, or whatever. Now, they have reason to be suspicious of him. He does violate various prison rules. So maybe that's what he regards as harassment. But I'd like to see at least a hint of some concern about race.
Your Honor, perhaps there was a hint in the hearing. We really don't have the complete record. Perry's never had a chance to be heard. Maybe he fleshed out this harassment claim within the hearing just as he fleshed it out in his complaint. In his complaint, he said he was harassed based on racial discrimination. Maybe he said the same thing in the hearing before the Adjustment Committee. What I'm trying to say, Your Honor, is that this is an affirmative defense that he's never had a chance to explain himself one way or the other. I see my time's over for no further questions.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and thank you for, you know, representing him at our request. Okay, so court will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow, maybe. Thank you.